In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, amen. It is absolutely impossible to advance in the spiritual life without fidelity to grace. It's simply impossible. There is no way to do it. And it is a basic problem that most people rarely overcome, that is, this lack of fidelity to grace. And what is fidelity to grace? It is that whenever a grace comes, a person always holds on to it, grabs it, and makes use of it for his perfection. But most people don't do that each and every time a grace comes. Very often they brush it aside. But there is a real danger in not doing it. One, God eventually can pull the plug on the grace. Just as a person who receives a gift, because every grace is a gift, it's gratuitous. God doesn't have to give it to you. Every grace he gives you is a sign that he loves you. And every time you reject it, you spurn his love. And you show to him your ingratitude towards his goodness towards you. Furthermore, every grace, if you reject it, becomes a means by which God will eventually say, that's it. If your real desire is to be worldly and to be under the prince of darkness who owns the world, then you can have him. And so this Satan who goes around seeking someone to devour, you will fall prey if you're not always faithful to grace. So how do we practice it? Well, the principal ways, the primary way that you have to practice it is by paying attention to the grace when it comes. In other words, God gives you these little inclinations, and then you have to follow them. Now, there's two kinds of actual grace. There's what they call objective grace and what they call subjective grace. Objective grace are those little things that occur externally to you that show to you that God is prompting you to do something. And they're little signs of his love for you. So, for example, one of the signs that you know you have a vocation is when other people tell you, you know, maybe you have a vocation. But that isn't the primary means by which you discern what to do. But these little external graces can be signs that God is prompting you to do something. So, for example, if you get an interior grace to do something and then all of a sudden the external things outside of you start falling into place very easily, that's a sign that this internal grace that you're receiving is in fact God's will for you. But then there's subjective grace, and that's the inclinations that we receive interiorly. But because most people are completely daft in the discernment of what goes on to them interiorly, because they always follow their emotions and think any movement whatsoever is somehow from God. You see this, for example, when people will think that, you know, I feel God telling me, well, your feelings are very often, let me put it this way, God doesn't work through your feelings. So the moral of the story is that you have to know what you need to do to be able to pay attention to this. The first thing is, though, we need to take a look at is, why don't we hear these inspirations? Why don't people follow these inclinations? Well, the first principal reason is habitual dissipation. What is dissipation? Dissipation is when the person is chronically following the cares and the loves of the world. And that that's what he's really interested in. He wants diversion, he wants entertainment, he constantly is doing that. So, for example, if when you come home from work, your first inclination is to turn the television on rather than to pray, that's a sign of dissipation. And this is something that's quite important. Now, sometimes people will relax a bit so they can kind of to recoup their energy and then go to pray. That's fine. But you're really, that should be done to lead you to the prayer. But it's habitual. People are habitually doing this. Their whole life is spent on wasting time pursuing things that aren't going to help them spiritually. And so when a grace comes, because they're in the habit of following the cares of the world, then as soon as the grace comes, they'll reject it because they're really more interested in the world than in God. Another one is lack of mortification. Now, what mortification does is it makes dead those faculties and those inclinations. It'll drag you away from what reason and will, illumined by faith, know is the right thing to do. So what happens is that when a person's not mortified and they're following the life of their appetites, the minute the inclination comes up, the person recognizes it, maybe I should pray. And then what happens? The appetites, no, let's go eat. No, let's go watch TV. That's a sign of lack of mortification. And so what happens is when they haven't killed those things, when they haven't done away with those things within themselves that lead them away from God, then they end up being drug off into Timbuktu anytime any grace comes. Also, there is kind of this horror of suffering. After Adam and Eve fell, we got stuck with this thing called the horror or fear of suffering. People just don't want to suffer. They're afraid of it. They want to get away from it. They seek a life of comfort. They do everything to maximize, or I should say, minimize their suffering. Again, this is a sign of lack of mortification. But the moral to the story is that if you don't pick up your cross and follow Christ, which very often is the graces that are prompting you to do this, you know, the graces are telling you, pick up your cross. Your wife is needling you, or your husband is doing something annoying, and you get the inclination, I should offer this up for him, but instead you lash out at him or her. That's a sign that you don't want to suffer. You have to be willing to suffer anything that God comes. Why? Because whenever God sends you a suffering, he will always give you a proportionate amount of grace to handle it, even when it gets to the point where you think, like, I've just had too much, I can't take it anymore. Yes, you can. Not on your own, but with grace you can do it. But you have to be faithful to those graces. And very often when a person says to themselves, I can't take this anymore, that's a sign that they're already, at least psychologically, declining from the grace that God is sending them because they don't want to deal with the chronic pain or difficulty they're suffering under. But you have to be willing to suffer. Otherwise, you won't be faithful to grace. Then there is also the problem of disordered affections or lack of a detachment. What is detachment? They used to call it holy indifference. It was the fact that it didn't matter what happened, you were detached. You were indifferent in relationship to it. Not because you didn't care, but because your focus was God and not the world, not the created thing. So it didn't matter what happened on a created level, your focus was God. Okay, what can we do to maximize what God's getting out of this? If that's your focus, then whenever any grace comes, you'll follow it because it'll tell you, this is what I got to do. So that's what I'll do because this is, I want to please God. But if you're attached to anything created, anything at all, it will drag you away from being faithful to graces that come because graces are very subtle very often. And they'll just incline you very slightly. This is God's kind of nudging. Again, it's a God's manifestation to you that he loves you, that he's trying to draw you closer to himself. But what happens is if you're attached to something, the attachment will also incline you in the opposite direction and then you'll get drug off. St. John of the Cross says an attachment is like a thread that holds the bird to the tree and he doesn't think he can fly off. I say an attachment is like a rag. It's a rag. You place it in front of a dog, right? And you wave it in front of his mouth, and what does he do? He clamps onto it. Once he does, you can drag him anywhere you want. And this is what the demons do with people. They get them attached to things. They increase their pleasure, in fact, in relationship to things. And so as soon as a person's attached, they can drag them around. This is why you have to break it. But if you're getting dragged around by your attachments, you are not following the inclinations, which are very subtle, very often, of grace. You must be able to discern, though, the grace from the demonic suggestion, therefore. You know, just because you feel, I think this is from God, I feel this is from God, it may not be from God. You have to have some objective principles. And one of the first ones is the sanctity of the object that's being proposed by the grace. In other words, is what you're being inclined to in accord with virtue and Catholic theological principle? In other words, if it's contrary to the faith or contrary to virtue, it is not from God. It is that simple. But this means that you have to know your faith. You need to know the virtues to know whether what you're being inclined towards is a grace. Grace leaves us with a peace of soul. Peace is called the tranquility of order. Tranquility is this quiet that we receive interiorly, the soul, the faculties aren't being drug every which way, but when we do these things, we get this peace in knowing this is where I'm supposed to be, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Whereas if you follow your emotions, your appetite, it will always lead to disturbance. You'll never have any peace, ever. You have to also have a humble obedience. This is where thinking that you know everything and thinking your judgment is better than anyone else, rather than submitting it to a spiritual director or a priest or to someone else or to the church, will always lead to disobedience and to self-will. Why? Because you think you know better, so you do whatever you think you should be doing, rather than very often in the spiritual life, as you start advancing, it gets darker and darker and darker, and you become completely blind. Once a person destroys mortal sin from their life and has started eradicating venial sin, they start entering into a darkness. And that's why you can't rely on your own judgment very often about these things. Sometimes there's certain graces, some you know. For example, if there's something sinful being proposed and you get this little inclination, no, don't do that, you better go pray instead. That's grace. Whereas if it's, you know, something like, you know, I'm a married woman and I think I should go help the monks in Tibet, you know it's not quite right. And you better go talk to a priest to discern it. But this means that what? When it comes to ourselves, we are blind and stupid. Obviously, the fact that we're sinful is a sign of that. So we have to rely on someone else who can tell us this is what we need to do. Even I have a spiritual director. Every priest is told you need to get a spiritual director. Everybody, it doesn't matter how holy you are, you have to have a spiritual director, because very often we're just blind and can't discern these graces. Whereas a good and holy director will look at those and say, no, this is from God and this is not. This is accord with principle, this one is not. But this means you have to be willing to be obedient as well. They have to therefore be docile to the practice of always being faithful to grace. Docility is the virtue by which one is willing to be led. The more intelligent you think you are, the less likely you're going to be led. The more you think you've got it all figured out, the less you're going to be led. You have to recognize, I don't know everything. And I have to be willing to be led to the truth. You find this, you know, I'm sure you've heard the joke. The guy who's 18, he says, when the guy is 25, right? And he says, you know, when I was 18, I didn't think my parents knew anything. But then when I became 21, 22, 23, I began to realize how much they had learned in 3 years. The moral to the story is what? When people are young and teenagers, they're indocile. That's one of the problems. This is why you have to encourage obedience and docility to them when they're younger, so that when they become teenagers, they're more likely to rely upon not their new emotions that are starting to become stronger because they've gone through puberty, but they'll be following and their own clarity that they think they have of judgment, but they'll start being more docile and following it. But docility and practice to grace is absolutely necessary. If you are not willing to be led by grace, you will never reach perfection. Period. You cannot reach it on your own. Only God can lead you in your particular set of circumstances to where you need to be. And that means He tailors the grace specifically for your imperfections and the trail which He wants you in order to achieve that. And what are these things that are contrary to this docility? Delay, temptation to delay. You get the inclination to go pray. No, I'm going to go watch TV instead. Or no, I'm going to go listen to music. Or no, I'm going to go surf the internet instead. Now here's the problem. Not only did you just spurn God's love for you and His manifestation of His, you know, His gratuity towards you, His desire to give you a good thing, but you have no guarantee that later that grace is going to be there. How many people think to themselves, okay, I got to go pray. Then they don't. They go, I'm going to search the internet for about 10 minutes. 3 hours later, there they are, still surfing the internet. They didn't get the grace again to go pray. This is one of the signs that delaying of any grace, the following of any grace, will lead to the loss of it. This is one of the reasons why, as a general rule, not always, as a general rule, if a man has a vocation or a woman has a vocation, they should pursue it at the earliest possible moment and not delay it, because they may end up losing the grace of their vocation. Then there is also the fear of doing something contrary to our will. We get a pleasure out of doing our own will. And this means that sometimes God will incline us to do those things that are contrary to our will. And if we are afraid of doing something contrary to our own will, then we don't want to do things contrary to will, we won't be faithful to grace. Because graces, let's face it, graces are always telling us to do things we don't want to do. Wanting to go back to what we have given up is another chronic problem. Very often, people will give something up. They know, okay, look, I have just got to give up watching TV all the time. So they give it up. But then there's this gnawing for a little while. Oh, I'd like to go back, I'd like to go back, I'd like to, and they just kind of keep wanting to do that. And then eventually they do it. Okay, you have to, what is this rooted in? A lack of detachment. When you give something up, you have to radically break your attachment to it if you're going to be perfectly faithful to grace. It's the only way it can be done. When it comes to the spiritual life and when it comes to God, as St. Paul says, He is all in all. In the spiritual life, it's all or nothing. That's the end of the discussion when it comes to following grace. You either follow all of it, or in the end, you're not going to follow any of it. You might follow ones here and there or those that are comfortable to you, but in the end, as God says, you'll be lukewarm and I'll spit you out of my mouth. Everybody who is in heaven, it's all or nothing. So you have to make reparation for your infidelities to grace in the past. If God has given you the grace throughout your life and kept blowing them off, say little acts of reparation. It's like going to somebody who wanted to give you a gift and you blew them off and said, I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't want to give it. I don't want to receive it. Later you realize, okay, that was bad, and you go to them, look, I'm sorry, I didn't accept this. I know you're trying to be gracious. Then the person will be renewed in their wanting to give you the gift. And remember that you have to have gratitude for every grace that you get. Again, it's gratuitous. He doesn't have to give it to you. But most of all, don't spurn His love. You know, our Lord says that the primary thing which offends Him in relationship to His Sacred Heart is the indifference of men. They just don't care. They're indifferent to the spiritual life and to those things which perfect them. But you can't be that way. If you want to reach perfection, you have to recognize that grace is a way of God's drawing Himself closer to you. Love seeks union. God loves you, and grace is the way by which He brings you to union with Himself. Therefore, if you're going to be perfect, if you're going to have union with God, you must have fidelity to grace.